Let us pray. Gracious God, you are awesome in wonder. We see your full creation, we see your majesty, and all of the universe is held together by the power of your word. And yet you have created us, and you listen to us. You hear our prayers, you know all the number of hairs on our head. You care about our needs, you care about our thoughts. Who are we that you would be mindful of us? And Lord, we confess that despite of your generous and extraordinary love, that sometimes we are distracted, that we're distracted by the temporary pleasures of this world. We're distracted by the approval of people. We're distracted by our worry and fears of needs when we fail to trust in your love, in your wisdom, in your grace. And so God, please forgive us. Forgive us when our hearts grow cold with love towards you. Forgive us when we fail to turn to you for our peace. Forgive us when we think that we can rest on our own strength. So Lord, all the more, we ask that you would embrace our hearts with your gracious arms, that you would allow us to see the beauty of your love, the transcendence of your peace, the strength and power of your grace to sustain us, to strengthen us. And God, perfect in our hearts that faith that you've started and planted in our lives. And may we glorify you through our love, through our grace, through our work, through our studies, through our friendships, through our service. Awaken in us a response to the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, the work that's been accomplished, the atonement that we've been receiving, and move in us as a response of love and joy to put the gospel into a viewable example through our lives, and awaken us to the power that's available through your Spirit in our lives. We thank you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to follow along in your Bibles. This is the ESV translation, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come in the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. It's my pleasure to invite our senior pastor, Elder Daniel Luan, to come to speak to us this morning on the message on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And the title of his message is "The Mandate of the Church." Thank you, Elder Daniel.
Thank you, Pastor James. And I believe this is the first time I share with you ever since I become senior pastor. Beginning in March of this year, I especially like to appreciate the worship team this morning. The songs they selected actually give us a very good introduction to the message I'm going to preach this morning. So I appreciate your effort here. October is the mission month of our CCC, and so I choose this text to share with you that the church is given a mandate to preach the gospel to the people near and to the people far away. This mandate is based on God's grace, and hence it is a privilege to receive this mandate. This mandate ought to motivate us to see people as God sees people, a people in need of the gospel. Because of that, this mandate is also an urgent mandate. Before we move on, let me stress that even though 1 Timothy, on the surface, is a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to his spiritual son, Timothy, but if we read carefully, it is also a letter addressed to the whole church. The last sentence of 1 Timothy, it says that grace be with you. In the English translation, we don't see this "you" is whether plural or singular, but in the original Greek language, this "you" is actually a plural "you." Grace be to you all. So that means at the end of the letter, Paul says that this letter is not only for Timothy alone, it is for the whole church. In chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said, "If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God." So therefore, this letter is an instruction to Timothy, but also an instruction to the whole church. We begin with verse 7. It says, "For this I was appointed a preacher." So not only Paul was appointed a preacher, we all are also appointed a preacher. Now, how we are appointed a preacher is because we have a message. The message is actually from verse 5 to verse 6. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." We are given a gospel mandate because we have a message. The message that there is only one God, only one mediator, a God-man, Jesus Christ. Only he can pay the ransom. Why a ransom is mentioned here? Then we can turn to Romans chapter 3. Here we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood." The key concept here is that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wage of sin is death. However, we have all been justified by God's grace as a free gift. This is because Jesus Christ has paid the ransom. Jesus Christ has paid the ransom by his blood to redeem us from the judgment of sin. Today, if we still have seekers among us, please heed this important advice. Jesus has already paid the ransom. We have to receive it as a free gift. On the other hand, those who have been born again, those who have received this free gift, we are given the privilege to preach the gospel. This is why in verse 7, "For this I was appointed." Know that the word "was appointed," the voice is passive voice, the tense is in the past. A passive voice means divine passive. That is, to become a preacher is not out of Paul's own choice, but it is a divine commission come from God. The past tense indicates to a specific time in Paul's life. My understanding is that ever since he was converted to become a Christian on the way to Damascus, he was given this commission. He was given this appointment. Today is the same way that ever since we become a Christian, ever since the first day we confess Jesus Christ is our Lord, we are given this divine commission to preach the gospel. There's another nuance in this simple sentence, that is the pronoun I. Now, in the Greek grammar, the suffix of the verb would indicate the person of the subject of this verb. So, anytime if a pronoun is added, grammatically speaking, it is redundant. However, it has important function. That is, when Paul said, I was appointed, literally translation would like, I was appointed. The added pronoun is for emphatic purposes. So, Paul here thinks that it is important. He realized that he has a divine commission from the Lord. Today, it is the same for each one of us. We ourselves all have received this divine commission to become a preacher of the gospel. Now, the preacher here, another rendering, is a herald, H-E-R-A-L-D. I look at the Greek word study book, and then I find out this explanation of this word, herald. Let me just read it out for you. Now the herald was someone who had important news to bring. He functioned as a messenger, the bringer of some news or command from the king's court. He was to have a strong voice and proclaim his message with vigor. The herald's most important qualification was that he faithfully represent or report the word of the one by whom who had been sent. He was not to be original. His message was to be that of another. Now, we are all heralds sent out and commissioned by God. We don't have to feel sorry about the message we are going to preach, because the message is not ours. It is the gospel from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I grew up in a small city in southern Taiwan. Some of us who participate in the village gospel mission would know what I'm talking about. I remember in that small city, we used to have a street corner drama show. People will put up a very rudimentary platform, and the people will go up to show a drama. I remember from time to time, there is a drama like that. A big family was eating dinner, and all of a sudden, somebody came from outside, and he came into the room. He took out a scroll and announced, "Listen to the decree from the emperor." And everybody knelt down to listen to that. I think this is a right picture for a herald. Even though the messenger is maybe a nobody, but on the other hand, he does bring an important message. So everybody hear his message need to pay special attention. You will never see a herald come into the room with emperor's decree saying, "I'm so sorry to disturb your dinner. Please bear with me. I only require 3 minutes to announce the decree from the emperor." You will never see anything like that. So by the same token, when we preach the gospel, it is a privilege given to us. We don't have to feel sorry. It is also important that as a herald, we have no freedom to preach our own message. We cannot add anything to that. We can also not to deduct anything from that. I know that in these days, people think that the gospel message could be very offensive. So sometimes when we want to tone down it a little bit, sometimes we may only want to talk about the health and the wealth aspect of the gospel. But my good friends and my brothers and sisters, we do not have any freedom to make the gospel message any less offensive. We have to convict people through the message that we are all sinners. We desperate need to come to Jesus Christ. He is the only ransom ordained by God. If we are heralds, we are to preach the gospel with the understanding that it is our responsibility and the privilege to preach. But the result is not in our own hand. In Romans 10:14, there's a nuance in the translation. The ESV translation is this: how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? But the NASB has a very interesting translation, which is similar to the translation of Chinese Union Bible. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now listen, this is a different rendering. How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? This translation actually demonstrates a very important nuance. That means when we preach the gospel, people not only hear us, people actually hear Jesus Christ through our preaching. I think it is an important nuance because according to the Bible, nobody can become a Christian except that they were motivated by the Holy Spirit. So there's a very famous mission speaker. He said the following. I think it is very true. He said, "It is impossible to make people believe, but it is our mandate to make gospel message available to people who have not heard." This understanding, I think, is important. I wonder whether you think about how many times a person needs to hear the gospel in order to become a Christian. I read it somewhere many, many years ago. I don't remember the correct number. I tried to do a Google search, cannot find it. So if someone you can find it, send me email, tell me. Okay, let me just say 10 times. A person who become a Christian, when he or she heard the gospel for 10 times. I remember when a precious young lady asked me, "When you go out to preach Pascal, do you see people, you know, raise their hand to become a Christian?" I say, "Yes." And she will say, "I'm so sad because I share the gospel with my friends, with my classmates, with my colleagues. Nobody would listen. Nobody would make decision to become a Christian." I just told her, "My dear sister, you are doing number one through number nine. Sooner or later, you will get to a number 10. So, to preach the gospel is our privilege and responsibility, but we ought to trust the results in God's hand. Many years ago, a young high school student went to Arizona for a short-term mission trip. The first day of the mission trip, she befriended a Navajo girl, and then she talked to her to care about her family, her study, and so forth. So she spent 4 afternoons with this Navajo girl. On the fourth day, she asked this Navajo girl, "Are you ready to open your heart to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior?" She felt that Navajo girl was on the verge of confessing herself to be a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as her personal savior. She can clearly see she was struggling inside. But eventually that girl told her, "Let me think about it overnight. Tomorrow I will tell you." The second day, when she woke up, she was thinking today may be a day of harvest. But unfortunately, the short-term mission leader told her that there's other places need your help. Why not you go to other places? And then, they are in short of people to work among the Navajo children. So she has to obey. So she went to the other place. But when she came back the afternoon of the fifth day, everybody was very happy. Somebody told her, "Hey, do you know the girl you talked to her for 4 days? She has not been moved at all. But this afternoon, sister so-and-so talked to her, and then she made a quick decision for Christ. She's so good than you. Okay? She's so better than you." So this young sister getting a little bit upset. She came home. She told her parents, saying, "I feel so sad because everybody was so happy, but I was so sad. It is not fair." You know, the high school student like to say, "It is not fair." You know why? The counselors pulled me away to some other places. Now, her parents can only comfort her, saying, "Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together." This is one thing we have to remember. Sometimes God calls us. God only gives us the opportunity to plant seeds, and somebody else may harvest. Sometimes when we preach the gospel, we receive positive response. There's nothing for us to be proud of because somebody else has already planted the seeds. The important thing is that we are given the privilege and the responsibility to share the gospel. I hope that one of the takeaways today is that think about who are the people we can share the gospel to. This leads to my point number two. The mandate is a broad mandate. We ought to see the needs of all the people. We need to have a big heart. Look at the passage we have just read. Verses 7-4, God desires all people to be saved. Verse 7-6, Jesus was a ransom for all. Verse 7-7, Paul was appointed as a teacher of the Gentiles. Gentiles can also mean all people. And verse 1, God actually exhort us to pray to be made for all people. This all means all kinds of people. Especially in Mission Month, we need to think about people who are different from us. It is always comfortable to become friends with people who are similar to us. But for the sake of gospel, for the privilege of being appointed by God to be a preacher, to be a herald, we need to look out for people who are different from us. I remember many years ago, we were called by a church in Philadelphia, Chinatown. That is a church consisted of Cantonese-speaking brothers and sisters. Some of them observed that there are so many new immigrants came to them from mainland China. They don't speak Cantonese, they only speak Mandarin. So they have decided they're going to have a Mandarin service. The problem is that they don't speak Mandarin. So what they do? They come to RCCC. They are asking for preachers to go to that church, to preach every Sunday. I was called upon to be one of the team serving them. So at one point, I went there to preach to their newly started Mandarin service about once a month or once every 2 months. I tell you, the most difficult time for me to attend their worship service was the time of worship in singing, because the presiders, the song leaders, they cannot speak good Mandarin. So it was almost like a small torture for me. I have to sit through 30 minutes, and then I think it also looks like a torture for them. At one point, I almost come up to them saying, next time when I come, I will do the everything, okay? From song leading till the announcement. But I refrain from doing that. I think that's the only way they can learn is by practice. Do you know what happened today? That was 20 years ago. Today, their Mandarin congregation is the largest congregation in that church. The attendance there, the Mandarin attendance there, my guess is about three or four times of the Cantonese congregation. Not only that, through this Mandarin congregation, they planted a church across the campus of University of Pennsylvania. Through that church, many visiting scholars, students from mainland China become Christian. As I was reflecting upon their experience, if it is God's will to save those people from mainland China, I was pondering if the Cantonese speaking church did not have this initiative. My guess is that those people from China will be saved anyway, because this is God's will. But they will lose the joy of harvest. They are given an opportunity. They are given a privilege. They seize the opportunity. Today in RCCC, we have a lot of opportunities. We are a community church. If we show up in the rummage sale, we see all different kinds of people come from the community to come our rummage sale. If you attend VBS, before the class and after the class, you see the parents waiting outside. Many of them are from the community. We do have an opportunity to reach to the community, but we need to seize the opportunity. We need to worry about the people who are different from us. This is another testimony from a young sister. When she was in her sophomore in college, she went to the last Urbana at Urbana. That was 2004. After that, the Urbana has moved to St. Louis. And then she felt so moved by the message, and then she spent 1 hour in a prayer room. And then she said to God, "Lord, I sense the call from you for me to become a foreign missionary. Please tell me where I'm supposed to be going. Please tell me what I'm supposed to do. I'm a sophomore in college. I want to prepare myself to become a foreign missionary. Please give me clear answer and guidance." After 1 year, as he was about to leave the prayer room, she knew that God heard her prayer, but she did not have any indication as to God has answered her specifically. As she walked out of the prayer room, she heard a voice calling out her name, Grace. Now we have so many Graces in this church, no need to guess which Grace is it, all right? And then she turned her head and she found out this girl calling out her name. She was so surprised. She said, "Marisa, why you are here?" Why she was so surprised? Because Marisa was a Jewish girl living just across the street from her own home. They were high school classmates. Every morning, they walk together to the bus stop. Every evening, they walk together from the bus stop to each of their homes. And then she never imagined that she would meet this Jewish girl across from the street from her. So she asked Marisa, why you are here? Marisa said, well, I went to a college in Atlanta, and some friends introduced Jesus Christ to me. Even though I'm Jewish, now I'm fully convinced Jesus Christ is the Messiah we Jewish people are waiting for. I attended IV. This is why I'm here at this mission conference. Grace felt that God had answered his prayer. It is almost like God told her that, Grace, you want to become a foreign missionary before you can cross the ocean. Please cross the street first. I praise God that in RCCC, we now have many, many outreach activities through the mission department. This year, we outreach to the Jewish people. We outreach to the Indian people. We outreach to the Muslim people. They're all in our community. Many of us, we have classmates, different ethnic groups. Many of us, we have colleagues, Jewish colleagues or Indian colleagues. Think about what we can do to preach the gospel to them. If God's heart is for all the people, our heart needs to be with all the people. This is the second point. Another thing about the second point is that God always sees the needs of the people. This is reflected in verse 1. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all the people. Now, there are three words for prayer. The first one, supplication, and then the third one, intercessions, all have a root meaning of need. Supplication means bring the need, see the need. And the intercession means bring the specific needs to a king. Bring the specific needs to the one who can resolve the needs. We ought to see the need of the people. I remember many years ago, more than 20 years ago, I went to China for the first time. And then there was a train ride I took from Xuzhou to Zhengzhou, about 4 hours of train ride. It was a painful experience. I have a cold. I was sneezing and coughing. But almost all the males, plus some females in the railroad car, just smoking all the time. You smell the secondhand smoke, and the people are coughing, and then you heard that people are spitting on the floor. That was a horrible experience. I want to mention that 20 years later, China has changed a lot. If you took the high-speed train, nobody smoked, and then the train is very clean. But more than 20 years ago, that was not the case. When I finally got to my destination, I share with the co-workers there. I say, white people are so inconsiderate of other people, smoking like crazy, coughing like crazy, spitting on the floor. As I was complaining, one young sister told me, Brother Ruan, she is not rebuking me. She just said it as a matter of fact. She said, Brother Ruan, most of those people, in fact, all those people, they don't know Jesus. They have no hope in their life. They get so bored in an endless and endless struggle. They have nothing to do. How can they get over this long train ride but just try to smoke the past the time. Her answer broke my heart. I was thinking about the thing that agonized me. But this sister pointed out to me the need in people's heart. So we need to care for all the people. We need to see people as God sees them. I don't know whether you know a song called People Need the Lord. I just read a few lines. Every day they pass me by. I can see in their eyes empty people filled, which come headed who knows where. I cannot read anymore. So, we need to praise to God to have a bigger heart, to care for people who are different from us. My last point will be a very short one. Because God's heart is for all people, but the way of salvation is only one way, a very narrow road. So that ought to create a sense of emergency in us. I went back to Taiwan 1 month ago. Before I went back, I deliberately tried to make some contact with my fellow graduate students about 40 years ago. I felt that I owe a debt of gospel to them. So, four of them showed up. One of them is a retired professor from a very prestigious university in Taiwan. Another one is about to be retired as a researcher from Academia Sinica, which is sort of equivalent to the Academy of Science in the U.S. They are all very successful people. We have a four-hour lunch. Well, we finished the lunch very quickly in 1 hour. The rest of the time, I just try to introduce the gospel to them. Try to reiterate again, again, the gospel message. I came away from that meeting disappointed because I did not realize over 40 years their heart has hardened even more. I don't want to put a guilt trip in your heart, but I have always felt that if I was able to seize the opportunity 40 years ago, things may be different. Of course, God is sorry. I can still pray for them. I can still pray that someone else will preach the gospel to them. Perhaps in that 4 hours, I was just doing the work of number one through number nine. One day, they will become a Christian. But whenever I have the opportunity, I should do that. Let me close this part with another example, a real example. Many years ago, a newly baptized brother and I were going back to Taiwan at the same time. That brother told me, Elder Luan, this time when we were in Taiwan, we should visit Sister so-and-so's house because she is the only Christian in the family. And her mother, even today, resisted the gospel very much. We should go there to preach the gospel to them. I say, fine. Unfortunately, both of us are very busy. The family is also very busy. So finally, we make an appointment. Exactly the day, the night before, we both are going back to U.S. But then we find out that the timing was terrible. The appointment is at 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock, when we walk into the room, you know what happened? Everybody was watching TV soap opera, all right? And then we cannot say too much. Only when the commercial comes up, then we can talk a little bit about the gospel. I have never liked commercial that much. in watching the TV. But then after a couple of those commercials, this newly baptized brother all of a sudden woke up to the TV. And then he said, "We are so sorry. If we have more time, we should visit you next time. But since both of us will be going away to US, how about let me turn off the TV?" So he just turned off the TV. Everybody was stunned. I was stunned. I think, oh boy, this is a little bit rude. Even today, I'm not so sure whether he did is wise, but I do know why he did what he did, because he has a sense of urgency. 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." Again here, preach means herald forth the word. Be ready, a better translation could be with a sense of urgency. So this morning, we hope we remember that we're all given a mandate to preach the gospel. This mandate ought to broaden our heart to see people's needs, to see people as God sees them. This mandate is an urgent mandate. We can fulfill this mandate because we are appointed by God, and God will grant us sufficient grace. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you will help us by understanding your message, not only in our head, but also in our heart, so that we will be motivated to preach the gospel, to share the good news. This is your mandate to us. It is also a privilege we receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.